Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
It is Preds Insiders here on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you. Labor Day is in the rearview mirror, which means hockey is just around the corner. Rookie camp for the Nashville Predators starting later this week, Thursday to be exact, and then training camp next week before a preseason doubleheader opener on Sunday, September 26th against the Florida Panthers, which means we are less than 2 weeks away from preseason hockey, which means the regular season 1 month from tomorrow when the Preds open up against the Seattle Kraken at home at Bridgestone Arena. And joining me to talk some Preds here on Preds Insiders, our good friend Robbie Stanley has joined the show. Robbie, how we doing?
It was a rough football weekend for Robbie Stanley. I'm here to rebound today on Preds Insiders and talk a little puck. See how that goes.
Well, you know, there's not much else that is better than talking about hockey when, you know, you've got football sorrows going on.
That is correct. I am excited for hockey. Excited for a little training camp action right around the corner. And before we know it, I mean, the regular season will be here. So this is when it starts to get really fun looking ahead to this season.
This time of year always like sneaks up on me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like before Labor Day, there's no sense of urgency before hockey season. And then the Labor Day weekend is always like a line of demarcation on the calendar. And yep. After Labor Day weekend, it hits you that hockey is just around the corner.
Well, I got the email from the Predators last week. They're like, rookie camp, start next Thursday. I was like, does it really? How about that? Wow, that was real quick. That was awesome. But hey, the more hockey we can get, the better off we're all going to be. So I'm here for it.
Well, we're going to get to rookie camp and training camp here in a moment. But I do want to start the show by saying a big hearty congrats to John Hines for being named an assistant coach to Team USA at the Winter Olympics. That was announced last week. This is the first Preds Insider show since that announcement. Very cool honor for John Hines to be with Team USA for the Winter Olympics in February. And that announcement came on the same day that it was determined that the NHL will be going to the Winter Olympics in 2022. Lots of stipulations and guidelines in place for it, but I think it's a great thing for the NHL that they end up going to the Winter Olympics. It's usually an entry point for some fringe hockey fans or fringe sports fans to get to know some of these guys. So I think this is a great thing for the league.
Well, number one, really cool for John Hines. Excited to see that. I think he'll do a good job. And he's been pretty heavily involved in the USA national program here. So not a huge surprise to me. I think that's really good for John Hines. And obviously exciting if you're a Predators fan as well. But number two, I'm just glad the NHL wised up and made this decision because, you know, I've heard the arguments, and you'll hear general managers make this argument, owners make this argument. And to a certain degree, I get it. Like, what's the tangible value to sending your players over there and putting them in harm's way in terms of injury risk? I get it. But also, like, I think back to 2010 and that gold medal game between the USA and Canada. How awesome was that? How many hockey fans did that day by itself generate? I think it did pretty well.
4 years later, even though it was in the wee hours of the morning, TJ Oshie came to life when TJ Oshie had that incredible shootout run against, what was it, Russia?
Yep.
In that game. I remember sitting at Pete and Terry's for that game.
No, it was awesome. And those are things that, you know, I love hockey. You love hockey. The people listening to this podcast love hockey. So they're going to watch a lot of hockey, and they watched the Olympics the last time it came around. It wasn't the same without the NHL players out there. I'm excited that the NHL made this decision, and I'm really interested to see what Team USA looks like and what this roster presentation, when you start going around from Canada to Sweden, how many Predators are going to make the Olympics? It's going to be really, really fascinating to see how this plays out.
So rookie camp starts Thursday for the Nashville Predators. Training camp starts later next week. And again, the preseason opener, September 26th, a doubleheader against the Florida Panthers. Robbie, I've got five storylines that I am keeping an eye on for Predators training camp. And I want to discuss these five storylines with you because I think a lot of what we're going to talk about here in the next 10, 20 minutes is going to dictate kind of what this team looks like, not only at the start of the season, but throughout the season. And the number one storyline for me for this Preds team, and it relates to rookie camp, is Philip Tomasino. Philip Tomasino is on the cusp of making it in the NHL. He had a great season with Chicago at the AHL level last season, and he hasn't quite gotten the cup of coffee yet in the NHL. I think he's going to get more than a cup of coffee in the NHL this season, and I'm very curious to see what he looks like in rookie camp, what he looks like in training camp, in the preseason, and whether it's going to be good enough for him to crack the opening night lineup for the Nashville Predators on October 14th against Seattle.
Yep, that's really fascinating to me as well. And if you've heard David Poile speak, I think you know that he is going to be given every opportunity to make this team. Philip Tomasino has basically a roster spot on this team right in front of him if he wants to take it. So now it's up to him when rookie camp starts and when training camp comes into play to go out and take it. And look, I'm excited to watch him play for a lot of different reasons. Number one, the speed that he brings to the table. I've seen a little bit of it on film and just watching him skate, but to watch this in person and how that translates to the NHL level, I think it's going to be really cool to see and really interesting to see what that looks like. You know, talking to people that know him well, the speed's one thing, but really the hockey IQ, the ability while the puck is on your stick to slow things down and kind of process what's going on and make plays that way is really good from Philip Tomasino. Now, can you make that transition from being really good at the junior level at doing that, pretty seamlessly move into the American Hockey League and doing that, and now against NHL quality competition, does it still look that way? More times than not. I mean, he's a rookie. There are going to be times where it doesn't. But can he make that transition early into camp and not only be a guy that you feel comfortable making the team, but as he put it, a guy that can come in and make a pretty instantaneous impact because, and we'll get a little bit more into this, but this roster could need him to come in and make an instant impact if this team's going to do anything. He's a really fascinating guy to me. And exactly where they're going to put him, I mean, does he play on a top line? Is he on a third line? Do they put a bunch of young guys together with he and Cody Glass and Tolvanen? Like, there's a lot of really interesting possibilities when it comes to Philip Tomasino.
Well, this is the first time in a long time that we have taken a step back from the present and taken a look at the future with a lot of different players on this roster. Because going into each of the last, five, six seasons, it's all been about that season with that team, with a lot of veterans, yep, whether they're free agent signings, whether it's trade acquisitions. And there hasn't been a whole lot of young guys come through the system because David Poile has been spending a lot of those draft picks on trades to try to win now, win now, win now. Well, they're not necessarily in that window right now. And Philip Tomasino is a big piece of the future. And this is a guy that I know the fan base wants to see, whether it's on opening night, later in October, November, whenever that time comes. This is someone that is a big, big piece of this puzzle moving forward over the next decade.
Well, and it's interesting too, and in a way, not that anything about last season was fun or anything about last season was a blessing with COVID running around and that being the way that things had to operate at the NHL level. But what it did allow you to do was get maybe a deeper look at Philip Tomasino than you otherwise would have because he got to play in the American Hockey League. And if it wasn't with COVID and the Ontario Hockey League was playing, that's where he'd be just based on his age. And, you know, when you put up 100 points in the OHL, you probably outgrown it at that point. I'm glad they got to see him what he looks like at the Professional Hockey League level. And, you know, putting up over a point per game in the AHL, that's no small feat. I mean, he played really well. The playmaking ability that he brings to the table, I think, is already there. Can he develop a little bit more of a lethal shot, maybe more of a finishing touch? I'm interested to see how that plays out. But I think if you're a Predators fan, there's a lot to be excited about. And I've said this on Robbie and Rexro too. Philip Tomasino, to me, is a whole lot more NHL ready now than Eli Tolvanen was at this point in his career. And I think that's really encouraging if you're a Predators fan.
For sure. So that is the number one storyline I know I'm looking for here in training camp. I'm sure you're looking at, Robbie and everybody else here in Smashville, looking at Philip Tomasino and what he's going to look like when training camp rolls around. All right, that's the number one storyline. Number two for me, what is the role of Matt Duchene? Is Matt Duchene going to be on the wing with Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson? Is Matt Duchene going to be centering the second line? Is he going to be a main cog of this roster, or is he still going to kind of be a fringe first-line player when they're paying him to be a first-line player? I mean, I think this is a big season for Matt Duchene for a number of different reasons. If he has a good bounce-back season, perhaps it can boost his trade value enough where you can unload that contract. If it's another step back for Matt Duchene, then you might be throwing the B word out there by next offseason, and that's the word buyout. So the role of Matt Duchene as we start training camp later next week, I think is something that is really critical for this roster.
Well, and I think, I agree with the way we've ranked these so far, but if I had to put a to-do list and a ranking on John Hines, this is number one. Because to me, I mean, you've gotten past the expansion draft. Obviously, he's still here. Ryan Johansson is still here. So to me, if you're the Predators, like, you've got to find a way to make this work, because regardless of the younger players that you have available to you, in order for those guys to maximize what they can be, and I think ultimately for this retooling or rebuild or whatever you want to call it, in order for you to get out of it quickly, it's going to require Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene to play better. And so to me, John Hines has got to find a way to get through whatever the problem has been, whatever the disconnect has been, between Matt Duchene and him, because I think there's been one between Matt Duchene and him. They've got to find a way to get to the bottom of that and work through it. Because if you're just loafing around out there and $8 million a year and he's putting up 30 points in an 82-game regular season, it's going to be difficult to get through this retool that way with that money still on your roster. And I think a buyout, look, I hear you. I think it could be on the table if that happens again this year. Predators don't want to do that based on the financial situation that they're in. You've already bought out Kyle Turris's contract. You're as a league, trying to recover from a COVID pandemic that basically just wiped away your revenue from last year. So the last thing you want to be doing right now is buying out players. John Hines, to me, has got to figure out a way to make this work. You're stuck with this guy now. Now figure out a way to maximize his talent. Now, what you brought up, I think, is a really interesting question. Okay, what does that look like? Is that on the wing, on the first line? Does he play down the middle? If he does, is that going to be on the second line? Because, look, I mean, a lot of Predators fans, let's be honest, they're done with Matt Duchene, and they want him buried somewhere on the third line and a better look at some of these young guys. I understand the thought process behind that, but there's no chance Matt Duchene is going to be successful if you do that. So this is a really tough predicament for John Hines, and to me, this is the number one thing he's got to figure out heading into the season. And I would throw Ryan Johansson into a similar category, although I think Duchene is a little bit more advanced in those discussions.
Well, yeah, and I would say Matt Duchene is a little bit more of a mystery box in terms of his role.
Agreed.
Like Ryan Johansson, I would be stunned if he isn't going into opening night a month from tomorrow as the number one center.
Agreed.
Now, we can all debate whether Ryan Johansson is worth the $8 million, whether he should be a number one center when you compare him to other number one centers across the National Hockey League. But Johansson's role seems to be defined. Matt Duchene's role does not seem to be defined whatsoever. And to your point, I don't think putting him on the third line is really going to do him any good. He wasn't very productive on the second line, so what makes you think he's going to be any better on the third line?
Yeah. No, exactly.
And if you just stash him on the third line, you are further going down that rabbit hole of not being able to do anything with that contract. And then you're going right into the buyout conversation. Whether that's the smart thing to do or not, that's what fans will bring up if Matt Duchene doesn't emerge as somewhat of a factor this season.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And I think the one maybe glimmer of hope that you can have if you're a Predators fan, based on the way Duchene has played thus far, is there were times during the series against Carolina where they looked pretty good as a line together with Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchene. Now, at that point, and you're paying a guy $8 million to play on the wing and to not be a position that you brought him in here to play. But if you told me right now that that line could be productive for you this year with Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchene, why not give it a try and see what it looks like to start with? You can adjust after that. You got a lot of young guys that I think are going to factor into this lineup this year. It would be nice to kind of have a stabilizing force of veterans up top that have been through some things before, to help you weather what is inevitably, regardless of who we're talking about with young players, it's going to be up and down, and you've got to be okay with that if you're the Predators. It would be nice if Duchesne could find a role, whether that's at second-line center, but I think more intriguing maybe could be first-line right wing. If that could be a role for him where they could be productive offensively, I think the Predators would be smart to give that a look in training camp and see what they've got.
My number three storyline for training camp, once it gets underway here in the next 10 to 12 days, Cody Glass. Cody Glass acquired in the Ryan Ellis trade. I would say he is a bigger piece of the puzzle moving forward, a much bigger piece of that puzzle than Philip Myers, the other player acquired in that trade, where Ryan Ellis goes to Philadelphia back in July, and the Preds end up getting Philip Myers from Philly, Cody Glass from Vegas in that three-team deal. Cody Glass with 22 points in 66 career games at the NHL level over the last couple of seasons. I'm really curious to see if Cody Glass can, I'll use the word emerge again, but if he can emerge as a mainstay at the NHL level and be a factor offensively, or if he's going to play a similar role here as he did in Vegas, which was fringe NHL player and not really finding a spot in the lineup in one of the first four lines. I'm very curious to see what the change of scenery does for Cody Glass.
Well, I am too, and this is a big moment, I think, for John Hines in the fact that, you know, I remember when Hines was hired, one of the things that David Poile talked about as being kind of a pro for John Hines was his ability to work with young players and to develop young players. And Vegas was in a very different situation when Glass was brought into the league than most teams are, and certainly most expansion teams. They were competitive right from the jump, and they're going for a Stanley Cup. And Cody Glass, you know, he got tried out on the first line for a little bit in Vegas. It didn't go well to begin play. And then largely when he was up there with Vegas after that, he was on the fourth line, he was on the third line, didn't get a whole lot of power play time and got buried. What's difficult for a young guy, especially a young guy as skilled as Cody Glass, to come in the league and be productive that way. I mean, he had 102 points with Portland in 17-18 in the WAHL. I mean, he's a really gifted player offensively. He's not been able to put it together yet at the NHL level. And I remember a piece that Adam Vingan did talking to Peter DeBoer, who's the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. And basically DeBoer in that piece said he needs to play with players like him, and he needs to play with players that are skilled. And I think he's going to get the opportunity to do that. But then that brings up kind of what we were talking about with Matt Duchesne. If Cody Glass is going to play in your top six, where exactly is that going to be? Is it going to be down the middle? Is Granlund moving from center back to the wing? Is Duchesne going to be a part of the conversation in the top six? It's really kind of intriguing to me where Cody Glass is going to fit here. And I think it's important that he gets a shot this year somewhere in the top six, because quite frankly, I was underwhelmed with the return for Ryan Ellis. In order for me to be okay with it, and I think for Predators fans to be okay with it, this guy's got to hit. Like, you got to hit on Cody Glass. So this is a big deal for John Hines to get this figured out.
We've got a couple other storylines to get to with training camp on the horizon for the Nashville Predators, as well as some odds that stood out as I was perusing the sports books this weekend. That's all coming up next here on Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth and Robbie Stanley here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back in. It's Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Robbie Stanley joining me, Ryan Porth here with you on Preds Insiders. Robbie, we've been going over some training camp storylines for the Nashville Predators, with training camp starting next week, rookie camp coming up Thursday for the Preds. The first three storylines we knocked out just a few minutes ago. Philip Tomasino, what is he going to look like in rookie and training camp, and whether or not he's going to make the opening night roster. Number two, the role of Matt Duchesne. Number three, the role of Cody Glass. Now, the number four storyline for me going into training camp for this Nashville Predators team is, what is this blue line depth chart going to look like with the subtraction of Ryan Ellis? You added Philip Myers in that trade from Philadelphia, but you didn't really do anything else on the blue line this offseason. And you've got two studs on the left side, Roman Josi and Mattias Ekholm. You've got a lot of question marks on the right side and what you have long-term there. So how this depth chart shakes out to me, Robbie, is one of the other intriguing storylines of this upcoming training camp and preseason for the Preds.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating. And, you know, it's been a long time since Ryan Ellis has not been a part of this and a part of this discussion. And now he's not. And you look at that right side and you think, okay, I like some of the pieces there. There's a lot, I think, of potential there. And that's the scary word if you're a Predators fan, is potential. Look, Alex Carrier played great coming down the stretch last year. I thought, especially given the expectations that he had, he far exceeded those expectations and played well. The expectations for him are going to be a little bit higher this year. How can he handle that? If he is the one playing with Roman Josi, which I suspect he will be, to start play, can you handle going 25, 26 minutes a night against top-quality NHL competition? I don't know the answer to that. I thought he played well in that role in the playoffs. But look, we've seen defensemen come in before, look really good for a short stretch of time, and then things not go well after that. I mean, Dante Fabbro looked pretty good for a short stretch of time. It's not gone overly well since then. John Blum was in that area too. And speaking of Fabbro, how does he respond? I mean, you're talking about a guy that was healthy scratched during the playoffs this last year. That's not good. And that is not part of the plan for Dante Fabbro, I can assure you, when they brought him up to be a top four defenseman a couple of years ago. So can he respond? And the big question with him is, how much bigger has he gotten? How much stronger has he gotten? I think the skating is there. There's been way too many times lately in the last couple of years where he's just been pushed off the puck. And if you're getting pushed off the puck, it's difficult to be effective. Like Roman Josi's not the biggest guy. Roman Josi doesn't get pushed off the puck very much. You've got to find a way to position yourself and leverage yourself. And I'm interested to see if Dante Fabbro has learned there. So lots of really intriguing pieces on the blue line. If everything works out the way you hope, if you're David Poile, I still think you could have a pretty good defense. Problem is, I think there's way less certainty in that area than there has been in years past.
Well, they don't have a depth issue. I mean, you've got Borowiecki, you've got Benning, you've got Myers, you've got Harper beyond those top four that you would assume
yep.
The Predators have with Josi, with Carrier, Ekholm and Fabbro as well. All right, the number five storyline for me doesn't really pertain to opening night, what the roster is going to look like. Will Mattias Ekholm or Philip Forsberg get an extension before opening night for the Nashville Predators? That is one of the other storylines that I think I'm watching closely, you're watching closely, all Preds fans are watching closely as the season gets closer and closer. David Poile has made it sound like an extension for Mattias Ekholm could be on the table later this month. It sounds like Ekholm might come before Forsberg on that front. What are you hearing? What are some thoughts that you have on Ekholm and Forsberg potentially getting an extension before the new season begins?
Well, it kind of sounds like there's an order to this, right? And David Poile has talked about, and he brought it up on Robbie and Rex Road a few weeks ago, having conversations with Mattias Ekholm, and those conversations have begun when it comes to a contract extension, and then kind of following suit with Philip Forsberg after that. Now, I did some digging on Forsberg a couple of weeks ago. They had not had conversations up until that point, and we're going to start to engage in those after Labor Day. So my guess is those have probably begun at this point. I'm going to do some digging later this week and see what the progress looks like. I checked in with Ekholm's agent and have not heard back on that front, so we'll see what happens on that front. But my guess is Mattias Ekholm's deal gets done and probably gets done first. And I would be surprised if it got too deep into the season before that gets done. The Forsberg one is very interesting to me. And this is going to be something I think to monitor. I think if you're him, it can make a whole lot of sense to let this process play out a little bit. I don't know that he will. Maybe he likes the security of what the Predators bring to the table. I don't think there's any reason to question either one of those two in terms of their desire to stay here. I think they both love it here. But I think from a business standpoint, especially for Forsberg, it could make some sense to maybe let this play out a little bit.
Well, for him, you could look at it one of two ways. You could either get the guaranteed contract now
yep.
and not risk an injury-riddled season to bring down his value even more.
Yep.
Or you could do what you're alluding to, and you can go forward in a contract season and try to have that 30-40 goal season that would boost his value greatly going into free agency, whether that's re-signing with the Predators or moving on to another organization.
Yep.
I think those are all conversations that Philip and his people would be having if they haven't already.
Yeah, no, I think so. And also, if you're the Predators, like, honestly, I'm a little bit surprised they've not started these conversations a little bit earlier. Because to me, and look, David Poile's way more experienced in this than I am, obviously, so he knows what he's doing. But to me, like, I would want an answer and kind of a clear path on this pretty quickly if I'm the Predators. Because let's say you get into December and Philip Forsberg's not signed yet. All of a sudden, you're a couple months away from having to make a decision. Like, do you hang around and try to work things out with Forsberg and take a risk that maybe you lose him for nothing at the trade deadline? Or do you trade him if you've not got him signed by December or January? Like, to me, this is – we're not quite at, like, overbearing sense of urgency yet for Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm. But if it goes too deep into the season, if you're David Poile and the Predators, I think you start to sweat a little bit, because at that point you cannot lose a Matthias Ekholm or a Philip Forsberg for nothing. You just can't. I mean, it would be horrendous asset management if you lost those two guys for nothing.
Well, I mean, David Poile has been on the record in years past saying that he's learned from the Ryan Suter debacle.
Yeah.
Where he felt like he got a good vibe from Ryan Suter. You may have been really the only one getting a good vibe from Ryan Suter going into him being a free agent in 2012. Suter leaves for nothing.
Yep.
And, you know, if you could go back and do that over again, you might be more willing to trade Suter before the deadline that year, although that was a season where they were all in.
Yep.
They were all in to try to win a Stanley Cup, and it clearly did not go their way that postseason. But I think there is going to have to be kind of a line in the sand in terms of a date for David Poile with these guys.
Yep.
If they're not signed by X date, then you do have to start thinking about what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you've got to. And I think Poile obviously knows that. I keep going back to the Ryan Ellis trade with Matthias Ekholm. Like, to me, you're not making that Ryan Ellis trade if you're not pretty confident Matthias Ekholm's staying.
1,000%
I just
agree.
Don't understand why you would do that if you're not pretty confident that Matthias Ekholm's going to stay. So that's why, I guess, the whole time I've not really been all that concerned about Ekholm. I think he's going to re-sign. Even though, as some people have pointed out, like, if you're Ekholm, you're 31, you look at the situation around you right now, how do you view it? How do you view the young players? Do you think this is going to take a while to get back to truly being a contender? Because he's still a really good player. Is he still going to be a really good player whenever the other side of this comes for the Predators? I don't know. I mean, that's something you've got to take stock of if you're him.
Well, and with Forsberg, I think a lot of the fan reaction has been, you know, is Forsberg happy here? Is he a believer in the future with the Nashville Predators? And I think it would have to, if Forsberg goes into the season without a contract extension and it goes on for more than a couple of months, I have to think it is more business related to the fact that he's wanting to bank on himself and boost his own value, because this is a big contract for him. At this point in his career, it's a big turning point this season for him. So would not be surprised if he doesn't get one before opening night, but I also don't know if that necessarily means that he's not on board with what he's looking at, you know, around the locker room in terms of, you know, whether or not that he feels like this roster can win a Stanley Cup.
Remember, Roman Josi was not signed by opening night a couple years ago, and then he was signed for a long time.
Late October. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily by the season where it has to start, but right around Christmas time, I'd start to get worried if I'm Predators fans if those two guys aren't locked up.
So you're looking at the turn of the calendar to 2022 as, for you, kind of that soft line of if there's nothing then.
Yeah.
You got to start talking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. This is Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth, Robbie Stanley here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Again, our five storylines: Tomasino, Duchesne, Glass, the defense, and will Ekholm or Forsberg get that extension before the season? Before we get out of here, I was perusing the sports books. The Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. I have not approached that yet in terms of needing to reach out to them.
Let me dial that number for you.
Especially with how the second half of Saturday and the second half of Sunday both went after a not-so-good start to either day. they've got NHL futures out.
Okay.
And as we get closer to opening night across the league, they'll put out even more, you know, point totals for teams going over, going under.
Sure.
And there are some awards that you can dabble on right now. And I wanted to get your reaction to how the sports books view the Nashville Predators.
All right.
Okay. You've got this smirk on your face like you're abused by this.
This is going to be fun.
So in the Central Division, well, no. Let's start with the awards. Roman Josi is sixth on the list for the Norris Trophy. Cale Makar, Victor Hedman, Adam Fox, Charlie McAvoy, and Dougie Hamilton all in front of Roman Josi. Josi has it at 15-1.
Dougie Hamilton's in front of Roman Josi?
Apparently.
Interesting. Okay. Those are pretty good odds for Roman Josi. Look, Roman Josi looked a whole lot more like Roman Josi at the second half of last year. He plays that way the whole year, he's going to be in that conversation.
Well, he looked better with Carrier at times last season than he did with Ryan Ellis.
He did.
And Carrier, you would think, is going to be his defense partner, at least to start the season.
I still think Roman Josi's got a whole lot of really good hockey left in him. I think he's going to be fine.
So the Vezina Trophy, you have to scroll a little bit to find Juuse Saros.
Okay.
22-1.
Ooh, those are some tempting odds, man.
Now, I'm not going to go through the entire list. Andrei Vasilevsky is the clear front runner at 3-1.
As he should be.
Some interesting names that I found to be ahead of Juuse Saros on this list. Thatcher Demko in Vancouver.
What?
Philip Grubauer in Seattle.
Okay. All righty.
Frederick Anderson in Carolina.
Okay.
I can understand to an extent Semyon Varlamov with the Islanders, but they have a rotation there that doesn't really equate to being in Vezina contention.
Right.
All of those goaltenders that I just listed, including some others that do make sense, Fleury, Price, Leonard, Hellebuck, and Darcy Kemper, are all ahead of Juuse Saros.
I like those odds because I'll tell you, I mean, to me, if the Predators are going to make the playoffs this year, and I think they're going to be right there on the bubble, but if they're going to make the playoffs this year, it's going to require another really good season from Juuse Saros. Now, one thing that's also interesting is there was a bit of an outcry here when he wasn't a Vezina finalist, and sometimes that has a way with sticking with people. Remember, general managers are the ones that vote on the Vezina Trophy. So, look, it's going to be really interesting. Look, I think Juuse Saros is going to play well. I don't really understand the Philip Grubauer part of that. He's going to a Seattle Kraken team that's not going to be very good. So there are some names on that list, like Carey Price being on that list. I don't know how good they're going to be because doesn't look like Shea Weber's going to play.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about Saros, though.
I'm aware.
Like, I don't know how good that team is going to be. And it's also Carey Price. He's won a Vezina before.
Right, but he's like 35, 36. I don't know how old he is. So, look.
I feel old after hearing that.
That's just a long way of me saying I kind of like those odds on Juuse Saros. Not a bad investment.
Fleury at 10-1 in Chicago.
I like those odds, too.
Now, Saros at 22-1. Here are some other goalies that are also at 22-1.
Okay.
Spencer Knight in Florida.
Okay, I can see that.
Jack Campbell in Toronto.
All right.
And
no comment.
And Jeremy Swayman in Boston.
Sure. So. Yeah.
Vegas views all those goalies the same way as Juuse Saros, who should have been a Vezina finalist last season.
You know how I said I like those odds? I really like those odds now.
Mm-hmm.
That may be something maybe worth your attention.
All right. The Central Division.
Okay.
Colorado, the landslide favorite at -210. They are the heaviest favorite of any team to win their own division.
I buy it.
Rightfully so. Minnesota, 7-1.
Okay.
Dallas, 9-1.
I like that one.
St. Louis, 13-1. Mm. Winnipeg, 15-1.
Okay.
Chicago, 20-1. Arizona's at 100-1.
Okay.
And between Chicago and Arizona is Nashville at 41-1.
So that puts them at sixth in the Central Division.
Correct. Hmm. No, seventh.
Oh, seventh out of eight, excuse me. Yeah, mm-hmm. So seventh in the Central Division. I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but my goodness, there's like I don't really buy St. Louis.
I would have Winnipeg ahead of St. Louis.
I would have
in
Winnipeg
this.
Ahead of St. Louis, too. I just don't know where the goals are going to come from for St. Louis to be a part of that. Now, it's interesting. Chicago, to me, is the most interesting team in that division because with the moves they've made, at least to some degree, they kind of feel like they're going for it again just based on Toews coming back. You've got Kane still playing really well, and now you've got Seth Jones and Fleury coming in. So that tells me to some degree you're going for it. I could see them being really good and making the playoffs, and I can also see them totally flaming out. So they are a very interesting team to me. The one that I like the most in there and that I think is going to have a bounce-back year that people are kind of sleeping on a little bit, I really like the Dallas Stars. I think the Dallas Stars are going to be very good. And I think injuries were a big problem last year, the shortened season coming off the cup, all those things. I think a full season, a rested Stars team, I think the Stars are going to be pretty good.
We're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Rookie camp starts Thursday, training camp next week. Hockey is almost here.
Thank God.
Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road, weekday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, as well as NHL.com. Thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me.
By the way, earlier today, the Nashville Predators announced that Preds fans can submit a Stadium Series form for ticketing in terms of their interest in attending the Preds Lightning game on February 26th at Nissan Stadium, the NHL Stadium Series. And those who submit this form are entered for a chance to win four Stadium Series jerseys and four tickets to the game on February 26th. So if you didn't catch this earlier, go over to NashvillePredators.com and you can submit your info and potentially become a big winner for the Stadium Series. That is going to get here before we know it, and it is going to be awesome. In the on-deck circle, it is Greg Wyshynski from ESPN and ESPN.com. Always enjoy his perspective on all things hockey and NHL. We'll get into the Olympics. We'll get into the Nashville Predators. We'll get into the Central Division. All of that is next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders rolls right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. ESPN's Greg Wyshynski is always someone that I look forward to catching up with throughout the hockey season, and I thought this would be a great time to bring Greg on to talk a little bit of Preds and Central Division and Olympics before training camp gets started. Greg, thank you so much for joining us here this evening.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's great to be talking hockey again.
I know. It's 95 degrees outside here in Nashville, but we are talking puck and rookie camp starting later this week around the NHL and training camps next week. And before we know it, we'll have some preseason hockey. But before we get to any of that within the Predators and their division, the NHL announced last week that they are indeed going to the Olympics. For you, Greg, how crucial was it for the league to go to the Olympics in February?
Well, it's a tough one because crucial in their partnership with the players, absolutely. They made a new collective bargaining agreement last year. Part of it was based on the fact that they would make a full-hearted effort to go to the Olympics again, not only in this Olympiad, but in the next one as well. And, you know, that's part of the negotiation with the players. And so making good on their word that end, I think was pretty important. Now, I've been somebody who loves Olympic hockey. I do think that the people that fall in love with it and think it's the sport can look like, even though there's a little less fighting and hitting than I like, are right, that it is something that once you see it, you just want to see it again and again, at the best-on-best tournament playing for your country, the whole thing. But I am also someone who believes that the NHL doesn't really get a lot of benefit out of going to these games. And part of the equation in going back to the Olympics was that the NHL didn't get what they were really looking for from the IOC. They didn't get the marketing rights, the video rights, the ability to sell Olympic swag in the NHL stores with their players' names on them. We come back to the fact that the NHL is allowing their players, the faces of their league, to go make money for another business and not really getting much out of it for themselves other than the promise of quote-unquote global exposure, which frankly they already have. So I'm kind of torn on it, to be honest with you. Love that they're back in the Olympics. Wish they could have gotten more out of the IOC.
So you feel like it's probably better for the sport of hockey than it is for the league themselves with the NHL. That Connor McDavid, Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, all these star players will be, you would expect, to be in the Olympics in February.
Oh, I think it's great for the sport of hockey. I think it's great for hockey fans. You know, to have it be a centerpiece of the Winter Olympics is a huge thing. And you really, I think the Olympics felt that absence in the Pyeongchang games. Okay. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, they made some concessions, not as many as I'd like to see, but some concessions to the NHL to get them back because, you know, men's hockey became a non-factor in those Olympics. But I do think that when you are shutting down your season and what is essentially the stretch run of the season for the NHL and, again, not getting much financial benefit from it, I think I sympathize with the owners on any of this stuff, but I kind of do when it comes to the fact that the IOC won't even allow the NHL to put their logos around the ice during these games when the vast majority of the players that are playing in these games play in the National Hockey League and are being allowed to populate the Olympics based on the National Hockey League's decision to allow them to go. And so it's a completely unbalanced partnership. But again, at the end of the day, it's going to be fantastic to watch as an American, you know, Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel and players like that try to flip the script on the Canadians for once because now we actually have centers. That's an exciting thing, isn't it?
I know. What a novel concept. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN on the line with us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Greg, a month from tomorrow is opening night here in Smashville when the Preds host the Seattle Kraken. For you, as someone who covers the sport league-wide, I'm going to ask you a very open-ended question. What is the most interesting thing to you about the Nashville Predators here in the 21-22 season?
Well, first of all, I hope everybody brings some strongly worded letters and drops them off in front of the Kraken booth at the arena because they really should have taken Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene off your hands. I mean, that was the whole plan, right?
Like, exactly.
Do us a favor, right? But it didn't happen, obviously. The Kraken went in a very different direction with their expansion draft than what many assumed they would. The most fascinating thing for me about the Nashville Predators is the passing of the torch completely to UC Soros. I mean, we are now in a post-Pekka Rinne era for the Predators. What does that look like? What does it look like passing the torch to this goaltender and not having Ryan Ellis patrolling that blue line anymore as well? The back end of this team is to me the most fascinating thing about it. On top of obviously being in what could, you know, for all intents and purposes, be called the group of death division in this league. I mean, it's kind of been that way for a little bit, but I was taking a look at it this morning and then, you know, on top of Colorado just being a step ahead of everybody else. I mean, there are some teams in this division that I think if you threw them into the Atlantic or you threw them into the Pacific, would be well higher place than they'll end up being in the Central this season.
Who do you think is the second best team in the Central behind Colorado?
Oh, you know, until proven otherwise, it's probably St. Louis. I really like some of the additions that they've made, and we've yet to really see how the Tarasenko situation is going to play out. But, you know, another season under his belt for Torey Krug to kind of understand that system a little bit more. I like the Brandon Saad addition. I really like the Pavel Buzhnevich addition for them. And they're just a really well-put-together team. But I think pretty fascinating as far as their upward trajectory is Minnesota and what that team is going to look like this season. I do think that the removal of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter from that locker room changes the dynamic in a positive way for those younger players. And if Kirill Kaprizov can continue to kind of build on what he established in year one of having what I've called an Ovechkin effect on that franchise, because I was there in Washington when Alex showed up, and you could feel the same sort of thing happening around the Minnesota Wild where you have this complete game-changing offensive player that not only is helping you on the ice, but is also just bringing this different kind of energy to the franchise that it's never had. I'm interested to see how that manifests in year two, assuming that they can get their contract situation worked out. He does actually play for them this year.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN here with us. Final thing for you, Greg. Back to the Preds for a minute. So a lot of the talk around this team here locally going into the season is not necessarily about what the lineup is going to look like night one. A lot of it within the fan base is Matias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg, are they going to remain big pieces of this franchise long term? Both are entering the final seasons of their contract. Do you feel like Preds fans should have any worry about either one of those players going to the free agent market next summer and not sticking in Nashville?
I mean, I think there's always a concern because I still don't think it's necessarily been clearly communicated what phase this franchise is in right now. I mean, you know, you see a move like the Ryan Ellis move and you wonder exactly, you know, what the course forward is. You think about those two players potentially being available, potentially walking away, and you wonder what their futures end up being. I will say that, you know, I think Forsberg is in the neighborhood of maybe like 3 or 4 years younger than Ekholm. And so that could probably play into his future a little bit more than it does Matias. But I mean, they clearly love Ekholm as a standard bearer for that blue line. And obviously a guy that they feel could help the next phase of Predators defenseman along as well. So they're still here, which tells you something, because this is clearly a team that could use an influx of talent, especially young talent, and those guys could provide it. So your guess is as good as mine, but again, I think it comes down to the sort of muddled messaging coming from this franchise as far as where they are and what they see themselves as being, which I think tracks all the way back to the discussions we were having last season about what David Poile's future with the franchise should be. So until we have a clear sense of what that is, I think it's hard to really handicap what's going to happen with either Forsberg or Ekholm.
Greg Wyshynski covers the NHL for ESPN, does a darn good job doing it. Greg, thank you so much for joining us here on Preds Insiders. Always appreciate your perspective, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
You got it, bud. Thanks for having me.
All right, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN here with us on Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Always appreciate Greg carving out a little bit of time out of his busy schedule to join us here on the program. Interesting stuff there from him on Ekholm and Forsberg. We talked about it earlier in the show with Robbie Stanley and what the approach might be for both Ekholm and Forsberg, and Greg bringing up there what the future of this franchise is on the ice. We'll see how that factors in. We'll see if Matias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg can get those contracts signed before too long. For Robbie Stanley earlier in the show, for Greg Wyshynski, I'm Ryan Poore. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of Preds Insiders. We'll be back with you next Monday at 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.